Good morning and welcome to the Independent Bible Church of Duryea as we begin our morning worship service. We're going to begin it with singing. So if you would stand and turn to 460, we'll start with He Leadeth Me.
Amen. We're glad to have you here today. Welcome to our morning service here on a beautiful October morning as the weather is getting warmer. Walk outside this afternoon, probably take that jacket off perhaps. Glad to have each one of you here. If you weren't in Sunday school, I'm going to introduce Brother Al and Penny Braley. He'll be preaching this morning, but that last line of that hymn there, that last stanza dealt with what he talked about in Sunday school, the dash, all right? When our life here is finished, death comes our way. We can still trust the Lord. If you missed that, I encourage you to go back and watch that. I don't know if there's anyone visiting with us for the first time in a while. We do have some folks that are here, maybe as a result of family members here. Some that have been with us. See several here in the back that have been with us before. Others on this side here. Miss Sharon's daughter, I believe, been with us at a church picnic, I know. All right. Her granddaughters, or maybe some others that are sprinkled about I may have missed. Good to see Jen here in the front as well. And there's some others. We're glad to have you here. Many watching maybe by way of live stream. Glad to have you as part of this morning's morning service. I'm going to begin in a word of prayer. After that, you may have a seat, and then the choir will be singing a song here this morning. I hope to prepare our hearts for the preaching of the Word of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning, and we're grateful for a day to worship you. Lord, this Lord's Day to assemble together, Lord, with those that are brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for several who are visiting among us, Lord, and those that may be watching by way of live stream. Lord, we think of many of our dear shut-ins, folks that maybe physically are not able to come, Lord, anymore just because of health reasons, Lord. We pray, Lord, this morning's message and challenge of the service, the music would encourage their hearts from afar. And Lord, we're grateful for those that are here. We're thankful for our choir, the ministry of music. Lord, may you be honored and pleased by the singing of the Word of God, the principles of Scripture, both in the choir this morning as well as congregational and specials. Lord, we do want to lift up several in our church family. Lord, we think of Matthew Gonzalez. We thank you for the surgery that he had that went well with his ACL tear. Lord, we pray you'd help him, Lord, as he has a long road of recovery. But Lord, I pray that he grow in Christ. I pray you'd help him during the time where he can't do as much as he used to do to be in the Scripture. Lord, be praying, seeking your face, and Lord, it'd be a good time of spiritual growth. Lord, several in our church family we know that are going through challenges, trials. Lord, folks here today that maybe have smiles on their faces, but yet, Lord, behind the smile, Lord, things that are just burdening them down. Lord, I pray today that through the singing of the Word of God, the Word of God itself being preached, that, Lord, you would draw our attention to the Word of God, that we'd see the Bible truths, Lord, and act on that here today. Lord, for being in our midst. Maybe someone tuning in that's a stranger out of town watching our service that knows not the Lord Jesus Christ personally. Lord, I pray today would be the day of salvation. Lord, we thank you for salvation, which is a free gift based on what Christ finished on the cross. And Lord, I pray that that would push us to Christ-likeness in all that we do. Lord, may you be glorified in this morning's service. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Seated and turn to 109. Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Summer and winter and springtime and fall. faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
I'm the last.
Pardon for sin and the peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings are mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Thank you. Y'all know I have a hard time hitting high notes. She hit some low notes with that flute. That was pretty cool. Okay, now it's your turn to stand. And we'll sing number 566. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." I pray that you can sing this song with confidence. And if not, well then, come see me or pastor or get a hold of somebody and we'll talk to you about getting your name on the roll. But we're going to sing "When the Roll is Called Up Yonder."
When When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On the second, on that bright and glorious morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather of their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On the last, let us labor for the Master from the dawn to setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Work of love, the greatest command. failed to do something this morning at the after the video ran, and that was update some of those numbers. I think the video said that we had produced 220 million scripture. That number is now 248 million scripture, and we'll hit 250 million by the end of this year. We have quite a bit on the docket to do, and it is exciting how God continues to increase that. Also, it said 130 countries, and we got to researching that because we hadn't updated that for a while. We have shipped to 140 countries and 71 languages. So the church is continuing to work on languages, and we have a translation school that's in place going on, and we're excited about what God continues to do to further his word. We're going to be in 2 Samuel in just a few minutes, 2 Samuel chapter 24, and that's where we're going to start. Have you ever been disobedient? Any of you, you know, you don't have to raise your hand, but have you ever been disobedient and knew you were doing it while you were being disobedient? I'm going to give you a short testimony of about 18 years ago. I got saved when I was 9. And I surrendered my life on a Mexico trip when I was 20 to do whatever God would have me do. I came back from that trip, and I'd been to Georgetown College, and I'd been to University of Cincinnati, and about 2.5 to 3 years worth of schooling. And when I came back, I enrolled in the college there at First Baptist Church and graduated from there in 1980. Well, I thought, when you went to Bible college, you would immediately go into full-time ministry. And that's what I thought I was going to do. And God had other plans. He was trying to teach me that we're all in full-time ministry. Now, hear what I'm saying. We're all in full-time ministry. We just may have a different job, but we're still in full-time ministry. It's our job to get the Word of God and show them how to be saved, no matter where we are. So my pastor at the time, he said, well, just come work with me for a year. So as lay people, we went there and we worked with teenagers for the next 13 years. That's when I started believing in purgatory. No, I didn't. I'm kidding. We work with teens, and we have a lot of blessings that we could reflect on through that. The ones I almost lost in Mammoth Cave and so forth. And a couple of them I wouldn't mind losing in Mammoth Cave. But, you know, lots of activities, lots of things we did with them. And where the joy comes in is when you see those teenagers raising their families, serving Christ later in their life. But, you know, I always wanted to be full time. And I was a layman. But God showed me that it was our job to witness right where we're at. And I'd settled into the fact that that's what was going to happen. I'd worked for a semiconductor company, and I'd worked for Ford Motor Company, and I went to work for a printing company. And when I went to work for that printing company, when I was first there, the first week, they had failed to put me through the safety classes. So they had me in on a Friday going through the safety class, and we're sitting there doing the safety class, just me and the safety director. And I could tell something was wrong because people were running everywhere, and it was like a panic. They came in and got the safety manager and took him away, and they came in and told me to go home. They'd call me. Now, I'd worked there 1 week. I got home, and on the news, I heard that an elevator had broken, and the lady was on the elevator with a roll of paper, and the elevator broke and tilted sideways, and she got crushed, and it killed her. Now, of course, OSHA was involved, and the place was closed for days, and they called us in, and they wanted all the managers, all the supervisors in, and they were explaining what was going to happen. They said, we're going to have six meetings, and these managers are all going to do the meetings. This is the president of the company. I'd never met him till that day. And he says, are there any questions? He looks over and he goes, who are you? I said, well, I just started here last week. I'm really nobody. I said, but you know, I go to church all the time. And when I go to church and something very important is going on, I want to hear from the pastor, not the Sunday school teachers. You could have heard a pin drop in that room. All these people that were getting ready to do meetings, and they're all looking at me like, who is this guy? Again, I'm nobody, but I was just giving my opinion. So he stood there for just a minute, and he said, all right, we're having one meeting, and I'm doing the meeting. That was my introduction to the president. Now, I don't know that this had anything to do with it, but I got promoted four times in the next 4 years, and I was a third shift superintendent over that plant. It's a pretty good job. And then one Saturday, pastor called me. It was in October. It was the first weekend in October. I know that because the first weekend of October, I used to go to a car show every year. Walk around, just look at cars, thinking, man, they spent a lot of money on that car. Now, if you've got a really nice old car, more power to you. I even got one time. It stayed parked in my garage for 10 years, probably, and drove it maybe six times. Anyway, forget about the car. He called me and asked me to stop by his office. So I stopped by, and he said, I'd like you to come to Bearing Precious Seed and be the director. And I was floored because for 24 years or 25 years, I had wanted to be full-time in the ministry. And he said, I'd like for you to come. And I said, don't you think we ought to pray about that? Like he had not already prayed about it. He said, yeah, how long you want to pray? Now, I'm doing a little confessing here. I said, how about to the end of the year? Well, that's faith, wasn't it? He said, okay. And you know, in my mind at that time, what I thought, man, that's 3 months. He'll change his mind by then. In about a week, I knew what I needed to tell my pastor. Do you know what I did? I waited. We were at the same prayer meeting at the end of the year at a deacon's house. It was tradition then that we would go and pray the new year in at different houses. And so we were at the same one. He walked up to him and he says, well, what's your answer? I handed him a piece of paper folded in half and he put it in his pocket. I said, Pastor, aren't you going to look at that? He said, no, I knew what it was going to say in October. But you know, I've had the time of my life for the last 18 years getting to do what I get to do, printing the Word of God and getting it around the world. But you know, I'm like everybody else. I thought I would just wait a while. Many times I think we do that. We have opportunities and sometimes we wait. We have opportunities to witness and we put it off. But we need to do what God would have us to do when He would have us to do it and not delay. We're going to look about at a delay this morning and a few things. But again, I want to thank the church for partnering with Bearing Precious Seed and not only supporting the ministry, but also the seed line projects that you do. It's thrilling to me to see churches get behind producing the Word of God and getting it around the world. Let's pray and then we'll go to 2 Samuel and read our scripture. Father in heaven, we thank you for the time that we can open your word. Lord, be with the next few minutes. May you be glorified. In your name we pray. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 24. Begin reading in verse 2. It said, for the king said unto Joab, the captain of the host, which was with him, go now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people. And Joab said unto the king, Now the Lord thy God add to the people how many soever there be, 100-fold, and that the eyes of my lord the king may see it. But why doth my lord the king delight in this thing? Notwithstanding, the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captain of the host. And Joab and the captains of the host went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. They passed over Jordan and pitched in Aroer on the right side of the city that lieth in the midst of the river of Gad and toward Jazer. They came to Gilead and to the land of Tahoma-Hodashi, and they came to Danajan and about to Zidon. Came to the stronghold of Tyre and all the cities of the Hivites and the Canaanites, and they went out to the south of Judah, even to Beersheba. So they had gone through all the land. They came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. Now, something happened here that really David knew better. He had a little bit of pride. He wanted to see how many people there were, and he went against what he knew he wasn't supposed to do. Many times I think we're disobedient and we do some things that God would not have us to do. But he went and he wanted to number the people, because I think he had lost sight of it was all God's and not his. We need to make sure that we're realizing that it's all God's. There was a sin committed here. You know, the Bible tells us for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He had a chance to correct that, didn't he? The last verse that we read, it talks about 9 months and 20 days. It took him that long to number the people. I made a comment earlier, it takes a long time to count to 11 million if you're counting that way. That's why you have counters on machines, so you don't have to count that way, all right? But all of us here, we need to stop and we need to think about, there's some things that we could probably correct. David had 9 months and 20 days to correct it. But he didn't do it. Look in verse 10. It says, And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. He was convicted of what he had done. I think many times we'll make some decisions and we'll ignore that conviction. This morning, if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, that small, still voice that is inside of you, you know if you've done that or not. There's consequences of sin. Look at verse 15. It says, So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning until the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. When the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said unto the angel that destroyed the people, It is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Araunah the Jebusite. The Lord said, It is enough. And the death stopped. 70,000 people were the result of David's sin. 70,000 people had to die. You know, God is a gracious God. But time was running out. David had an opportunity for 9 months to correct his sin. Many of us need to confess some sin sometimes and get it right with God. I'm going to look at some things this morning that's enough. You ever got to a point where you look at your kid and you say, that's enough? Or somebody has done something and they won't stop and you look at them and you say, that's enough. Many of us have been there. we were at a stoplight on the way up here. We'd pulled off the road and we're sitting at a light, and the person in front of us was not moving, and it was us and then somebody behind us, and the person behind us started blowing the horn. And the person in front of us turned around and starts yelling at us. I smiled and I went. Didn't really help. They're still yelling at us. But you know, sometimes we get to points, that's enough. But God said it's enough, and he stayed the angel. But 70,000 people had died. Some things that are enough. Number one, his word's enough. The word of God is enough. Psalm 119 and 160 says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. 1 Peter 1:25 says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Psalm 18 and 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Psalm 138:2, it says, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. The word of God is enough. God has made it endure forever. It says it will endure forever. It's the power of God unto salvation. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God is enough. We need to stop and realize there's many things that the word of God tells us that we need to do. How do we know to do those things? We read it. We stay in it. We stay focused on it. And he'll guide us. You know, not only is his word enough, but his mercy is enough. Psalm 136 says his mercy endureth forever. Where would we be without God's mercy? Oh, man. Where would we be? His grace is enough. 2 Corinthians 12:19, my grace is sufficient for thee. This morning, I know that many of you here have accepted Christ, and you know where you're headed. But if you have not, his word is enough. His mercy is enough. His grace is enough. His cross is enough. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Oh, remember that day when you accepted Christ? You remember that? I came home from church on a Wednesday night, and I knew I was lost. I was 9 years old, but I knew I was lost. Now, my list of sins up to 9 years old probably weren't very big. There was some there, I'm sure, because I was convicted of them. But you know, I look back on my life, and I look at things God kept me from and how he kept me from those things. You know, I love playing football. I still like watching football. Too much. It's probably an addiction. Ask my wife after church. Where we stayed last night, I thought, okay, I'm going to watch this football game. I was ready. Texas, Georgia. Turned on the TV. It had no football on it. Never fear, I have a phone. But you know, I really like football. And I don't know if you know this or not, but all football players aren't nice guys. And when you go and you go to college to play football, there's a lot of things that you could get into that you didn't need to get into. But God kept me from all that. I praise him for that. But you know, we need to stay focused on what's enough in our life. He's enough. We need to commune with him. His commandment is enough. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. It's a command. We're to be witnesses for him. You know, his salvation is enough. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The story that we were reading about David, it says, when God said, it is enough, the death stopped. The death stopped. I don't know what your future is, and you don't either. We talked a little bit about that this morning. But I know God needs to be in your future. And I know there's an eternity that you're going to face according to the Word of God. We talked to somebody this week, and as we were leaving home, I stopped to get gas, and my wife handed this fellow a tract. He says, I'm not allowed to take that. Now, I promise you, if I'd have handed him $5, he'd have took that. He said, I'm not allowed to take that, and if it has anything to do with church, I don't want anything to do with it. That's the world we're living in. But you know what? God gives us opportunities. David had 9 months to correct what he did. I believe if he would have confessed it before that point, before the number was finished, I believe he would have prevented the death of those folks. But you know, sin has a price. Sin has a price. If you accepted Christ, time could be short for you. Let me ask you this. Is pride keeping you from accepting Christ? You know, pride gets in the way of an awful lot of things. Well, I can't do that. People will think I'm terrible. Years ago, at one of the places I worked called Ford Motor Company, we had a friend day at church. I decided to invite some of those folks to come to church. Kind of like what you guys are getting ready to do. Your acquaintances. So I invited these two guys that, I mean, I knew their backgrounds, and I said, if you guys will come to church, my wife will make lasagna after church and we'll have lunch. Try that, it'll work. So these guys came to the house, and they came to church first, and then they went to the house, and we shared the gospel with them. They left. My wife made a statement. She said, well, those are really nice guys. I said, well, one of them just got out of jail 3 days ago. And he was back at work because the union arranged all that for him, all right? But she had no idea. And I didn't want to tell her ahead of time. I didn't want any perceptions or anything, you know, what? You know, that type of thing. Not that she would do that, but we need to be a witness. It's commanded. Let me ask you this. In your life, is time that you give to God enough? How much time do you give God? By that, I mean, there's many things we can do. Your witnessing time, if you put it on a list, how big is it? How about your talent? I enjoyed this morning hearing the singing, the flute. I don't know why I'm sitting there while the flute was playing thinking, man, it'd be neat if there was some butterflies flying around up here. I have some weird thoughts sometimes, but you know, those talents are being used for the Lord. And you may be a person that's handy, and you know, I heard you mention somebody worked on the church and did some things, and we need to use our talents for the Lord. Do we witness enough? Is it enough? David, at the end of the chapter here, we're going to read a few more verses. Look at verse 22. says, "And Araunah said unto David, Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be the oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Araunah as a king given to the king. And Araunah said unto the king, The Lord thy God accept thee. The king said unto Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel." David was going to offer an offering, and the guy said, "Here, let me just give you what you need." David said, "No, that's not right, because it should cost me something." You know, sin costs us something. It may not be right now, but it could be later. If you don't accept Christ, it's going to be for an eternity. This morning, we've read about where David sinned against the Lord in numbering the people. And he knew it was wrong when he did it. How many times do we do something, we know it's not exactly what God would have us do, but we go ahead and do it anyway? There's much that we could do that'd be enough to give to the Lord. He made a way for us to accept Christ. It cost us nothing. It cost him everything. All we have to do is accept that gift. This morning, he's done what has need to be done for us to come to know Christ. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? What he did's enough. And in your life, what about what you're doing for him? Is it enough? Is he pleased with what you're doing and what you're doing for him? We need to do what he would have us to do and make sure it is enough. I know that many times we don't do everything that we can do. But I got to go to a church here about 2 months ago, present the ministry. There's a couple in that church that got saved when I was 20 years old. So that's probably 47 years ago. They were saved because it took time to talk to them about Christ. Won't go into all the details how they got saved, but they're active in that church. And the lady said, "You know," she said, "you were constantly talking to me about Christ." And this was back in the day when I was in Bible college, so I knew I needed to do that. We always need to do that. You don't have to be in Bible college to do that. But she said, "You would hide my cigarettes from me." She said, "I put them up there and you'd hide them. You'd put them up on a shelf and then you'd tell me, you'd give them to me if you'd listen to you for a minute." And so anyway, she accepted Christ. And then the guy I worked with later, he accepted Christ. They were married. And, you know, 47 years later, they're serving in a church way out in the country outside of Milford up there, about 50 miles away. But what a blessing it was to see that. This morning, I want to ask you, is it enough what you're doing to witness? Is it enough what you're doing with your talents, your treasures? But you know, he did enough that you can spend eternity in heaven. All you have to do is accept that. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, as the pastor comes, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to open the Bible and look at the examples you've given us. And Lord, we know what you did on the cross was enough. And Lord, help those here that may need to make a decision, and Lord, those that need to be closer to you. And Lord, most of all, if someone hasn't accepted you as their Savior, what you did was enough. And Lord, help them to realize the need of salvation. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Appreciate that message. We're going to have a brief invitation here in just a second. You can look this way. I'm going to have the piano begin to play, give you an opportunity to act upon the Word of God. Sometimes we'll sit in a service, and some of those probing questions will hit home, and we'll sit there. But then if we just leave and not act upon that, it'll very quickly fade away. And so we're going to have an opportunity to have an invitation. If you're here today, perhaps even watching live stream, don't tune out yet. You need to receive Christ as Savior. That's your greatest need. You have an opportunity to do that here today. If you're here today in the service, you can slip out to the back. No one will embarrass you. We'll have a lady with a lady, a man with a man, take you to a quiet private office, pray with you, answer any questions you have right from the Bible. You can trust Christ today to be your Savior. However, if you're a believer, you know Christ, you've got that settled, your role, my name is in the roll. It's in the Lamb's Book of Life. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. No doubts about it. Perhaps the Holy Spirit convicted you that the Lord would never say to you, it's enough. I'm not doing anything. Just sitting, soaking, absorbing message after message after message, and nothing ever to return for the Lord for service. The Lord understands situations, circumstances, and health and all of those things. He's the righteous judge. He'll take care of that when you and I stand before him. But would he ever say, enough, thank you for your service. You do so much for me. It's evident that I am first in all that you do and you love me. Well, if the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart, you can have an invitation. I want to say this before we bow our heads. There's nothing in the Bible that says a person has to do anything specific at an invitation time. Some bow the head. Some kneel there. Some may slip out and come to what's called the altar. I'm going to ask you, in all the decisions you've made in the last year, just sitting in the pew, how many have you kept? All the decisions where you can just sit and it's so safe. Nobody knows. Nobody has any idea. You just sit there. You sit there and you may bow your head and you may say, God, I'm going to do this. I pray. But there's nothing wrong with that. It's not sinful. How many of those have you kept? Last year, revival, marriage and family conference, missions conference, just regular preaching. How about the last 10 years? All the times you just said to the Lord, you'd do something during a quiet invitation where you just sat there safe. It's safe. Nobody knows anything. How many of those have you kept? There's a certain humility required to slip to the altar. And again, we're not here today to call anybody to do that. People resist that. Kneel by the pew. Go to that person and get it right. But if God's worked in your heart and you need to perhaps, what's holding you back is called pride. You never do anything. Perhaps it takes some humility to go to that person, slip out, pray with a spouse or child or whatever it may be. Again, we'll not make this invitation call every time, but I just, Holy Spirit, just challenge. God's worked in your heart. Everything's good right now with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Pray for others. God's put someone on your heart. Pray for them. But if God's worked in your heart in any area from the message this morning, then that's from the man that God had. God laid that upon his heart. No one told him what to preach. I had no idea. He may not have had an idea until he stepped up here, but God directed that. Lamp of Time invitation. Pianist will be in a play right after I have a word of prayer. Heads will be bowed, eyes are closed. If you need to be saved, would you slip to the back, let someone share from the Bible today how you can know Christ. Father, during this invitation, we just ask that you be pleased. Lord, you be pleased with our response to the preaching of the Word of God. We cannot answer for anybody else. A wife can't answer for her husband. A husband can't answer for the wife. We can't answer necessarily for our children in this area of invitation, or the children for the parents, or friend for a friend, sister for sister. Lord, we're going to stand before you based on the Word of God that was preached this morning, the Holy Spirit applying it to our heart, and what we did with it. So, Lord, I pray that we would be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Lord, if there be any in our midst today has never trusted Jesus Christ for salvation, never called out to you for salvation, turned from their sin and in faith received Christ's finished work on the cross, Lord, I pray today they would do that. Lord, if there be any in our midst today who has done that, they're saved, but Lord, they're in disobedience. They're not walking with you. You're clearly not first in their life. Lord, you get the leftovers. Rarely do you get first in any area. Lord, if there's those you've convicted about being a silent witness, being not bold for Christ, or Lord, not serving you in joy, Lord, I have no idea what it may be. Lord, if there's something that's holding us back from obedience, we're not right with our spouse, we're not right with our children, we're not right with our parents, we're not right with a fellow church member or brother or sister, and Lord, may we confess our pride and in humility obey the word of God. Now, Lord, may you be pleased now with this time of invitation. Lord, I pray, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the pianist continuing to play. It's between you and the Lord today. If you need to accept Christ, would you be willing to speak with someone? We'd love to show you from the Bible. There's no pressure, no embarrassment. Answer any of your questions. How can I know what salvation is? How do I know for sure that he's forgiven me of my sins? What exactly is salvation? We'll have someone show you from the Bible. You can slip out right now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'll ask no one to look right now. Just slip to the back. We'll have a man with a man, a woman with a woman. If you brought someone and they'd like to go with you, I'm sure they'd be thrilled to go with you and be there beside you to help you and pray with you. How about it, Christian? Are you right with God today? Is the Lord pleased with your response to the preaching of the word? Is there any resistance to the word of God? How about it, church? Is God pleased with this church? The church body, our service, our attitude, our love for the brethren, our love for the lost. Would he say, IBC, it's enough. You've done so much for the Lord this year. I'm pleased. Is there more that you and I can do? Would you be willing to do business with God? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We'll just let the piano play. And we'll let the Holy Spirit direct. Father, thank you for the word that was preached this morning. Lord, we're so thankful that your mercy is enough, that your grace is all sufficient, that the cross and the way of salvation is enough, and yet, Lord, there's still room for more. Lord, that your commands, Lord, are still binding today for the believer. Lord, what you've given us to do, we're to do faithfully. Lord, not based on anyone else, but between us and you, Lord, with the joy of the Lord. Until you either call us home, Lord, by death, or you receive us through the catching away of your people. Now, Lord, we know the time is short here on earth, Lord. We don't know when you may return, but it could be at any moment. Lord, what tragedy will be upon this earth for those who know not the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we get our hearts stirred when we see TV shows of what happens with a hurricane or the flooding or a terrible world event where hundreds or sometimes even thousands, and in certain countries, Lord, hundreds of thousands are killed by a mudslide in highly populated places. But Lord, that is just a drop in the bucket of what will happen during the tribulation period when the church is removed. The Antichrist reigns. Lord, millions and even billions will die. Oh Lord, I pray there's no one here today that has hardened their heart to the plan of salvation. Lord, if there's someone here today and they're hearing it for the very first time, oh Lord, give them a tender heart to receive the things of God. Holy Spirit, draw them to you, Lord, even today, I pray, to seek out one who is saved, to find out the way of salvation. Oh Lord, I pray for any believer today, oh, may we not harden our hearts and resist the Holy Spirit. Lord, there are plenty of folks in this church to serve you. Lord, yet there's not that many who serve faithfully. I thank you for those who do. Lord, there's help that's still needed. Lord, perhaps you've pricked someone's heart in an area of service that says, God, I want to do more. God, I need to do more. God, I used to do more. Lord, may we not just week after week just put that off. May we respond and say, yes, Lord, yes, I'm willing. Lord, I thank you for those who faithfully serve you, faithfully share the gospel. Lord, may we be faithful until you come. Lord, I pray. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Al and Penny. We ask your blessing as they travel later today and the next week, Lord, going to churches and family. Give them safety as they've been on the road. Give them rest for their weariness. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry of bearing precious seed, the Word of God, Lord, being printed by the millions and going out to not just here in America in the English, but, Lord, to many countries and places who have never received a Bible. Lord, I pray each one here today would have a part in that by supporting our missions program, and then, Lord, certainly by passing out the John and Romans we have right here in our town of Duryea for the gospel's sake. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this opportunity to gather together today. For those who are visiting, Lord, today, it's been a blessing to have them. Lord, I pray we'll be back tonight to hear the Word of God as we look at inquiring of the Lord, seeking God, Lord, for decisions that need to be made. Lord, we love you and we thank you, and we'll ask you to bless our afternoon in Jesus' name.